Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Hello again this week. This is John Jeffers at the Jeffers Brief. You know, I normally don't do two shows a week, but there's a lot going on, and I thought it was important that we get some of it out there. Now, timely, you know. To start off with, and you need to understand this, most Americans don't understand about the impeachment process. And I want to get it out there. Now, during the weekly show posted the other day, we played a clip of Rudy Giuliani talking about how the Dems have walked into a trap. And he hinted about it. He didn't exactly say what it was. He just said, you know, they've walked into a trap. Well, today I think I may have found what he was talking about. And it's this. This was, I found this. It's a political PhD that wrote it. Hiram Sudflufel. I don't know if that's the real name, but that's the name they used. And this is what he says. Now, this is how the impeachment process works. He writes, he says, I have a degree in political science, and I'm a card-carrying libertarian. I've been studying politics and political history for the past 30 years. He says, my specialty is U.S. presidents. That said, he says, I hope that the House of Representatives impeaches Trump. Let me tell you what will happen next. Number one. The House can pass articles of impeachment over the objections of the Republicans and refer to the Senate for trial. Number two, the Senate will conduct a trial. There will be a vote, and the Republicans will vote unanimously along with a small number of Democrats to not convict the president. Legally, it will all be over at that point. But, and this is point three, this is important here. However, during the trial in the Senate, and this is what no one is thinking about right now, except for maybe Rudy Giuliani. Like I said, I think this is what he was alluding to when he said the Democrats have walked into a trap. Now, granted, it's like burning the bridge behind you with this impeachment crap, because now the Democrats have nowhere else to retreat to, nowhere else to go. They've put it all out there. They've laid their cards on the table, and they're anteing. They're making the call. So, anyways, the president's attorneys will have the right to subpoena and question anyone they want. Now, that is different than the special counsel investigation, which is very one-sided. We all know that. So, during the impeachment trial, we will be hearing testimony from James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Bruce Orr, Glenn Simpson, Donna Brazile, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, Christopher Steele, Hillary Clinton, John Brennan, James Clapper, and a whole host of other participants in this whole sordid affair and the ensuing cover-up activities. Hold on here. On a personal note, have you noticed there is one name that has not come up at all? Think about it. What's the one name you have not heard about? And I don't know what if it means anything or not, but I noticed it. Valerie Jarrett. That name has not come up in any way, shape, or form. So I'm kind of like, does it mean something? Does it not? I don't know. I just noticed it. But getting back to it, look, a lot of dirt will be dug up. A lot of truth will be unveiled. Finger pointing will occur. Details will start being made, and suddenly a lot of Democrats will start being charged and going to prison. All this because, remember, the president's team will now, for the first time, have the right to question all of these people under oath, and they will turn on each other. This is already starting. Number four, lastly, one more thing. The Senate will not convict the president. Nothing will happen to Trump. Most Americans are clueless about the political process, the law, and the Constitution. Most Americans believe that being impeached results in removal from office. That's not true. They don't understand that phase two is the trial in and by the Senate, when he has zero chance of conviction. Remember, the Senate is controlled by Republicans. They will determine what testimony is allowed. And everything will be allowed, including DNC collusion with the Clinton campaign to fix the election in favor of Hillary, the creation of the dossier, the cover-up and destruction of emails that very likely included incriminating information. They will incriminate each other for lying to the FISA court, for spying and wiretapping the Trump campaign, for colluding with foreign political actors, especially Soros. And after the Senate declines to convict the president, we will have an election and Trump will win, more than likely by a landslide. Because for the first time, they will see that Democrats have spent 2+ years focused on maintaining their own power and not doing anything about the murders in Chicago, homelessness, opioids, and other important issues that are actually killing people. And we will spend the following 4 years listening to politicians and pundits claim that the whole impeachment was rigged. So yes, let's move on to impeachment. I think that's a wonderful idea. You want to impeach? You want to play the game? Fine. Let's go all in. Shall we? That's my thinking. And you know what? I'm not sure that's what Giuliani was alluding to the other day. I'm not sure. I'm just saying we saw that and it's like, what is he really talking? What does he really mean? Yeah, granted, most of us, amateur observers are sitting there thinking, well, maybe he's just talking about how this will blow up in the Dems' face. It will. It will be like an IED blowing up in their face. The back blow will be so serious, and I'm hoping, and it probably won't happen, I am hoping that it destroys the Democrat Party. So that, look, I'm not against having political parties. What I'm hoping is that it splits the Democratic Party so horrendously that the leftists, the true socialists and communists, are completely cut out and ignored for the next 100 years of the Democratic Party. Hopefully forever, but I'll take 100 years. But that's kind of what I'm thinking here. And I wanted to get that out to you because I think it's really, really important on it. Now, there's some other things I want to touch on quickly before I wind this up. But it's important for us all to understand this is a great possibility. I'm just saying. All right. The other thing I want to talk to you about is something I found. It's at, and I posted it. For those of you that follow us on Facebook, especially you new followers there in Japan and South Korea and Australia and Germany and Sweden and the UK and Ireland and our neighbors to the north in Canada, I posted it there for you all to read. You can go to MeWe.com, look up Contra Radio Network. Go to Mumblet.com, look up Contra Radio Network. And I don't know if I posted it on Disgrace Book. I don't remember if I did. I have to look at that. But anyways, Laura Loomer released this yesterday. This kind of ties the whole thing up together rather nicely. It's the transcript release, all right? A lot of things that are not being said. Now, don't forget, the mainstream media has taken the transcript that was released yesterday, and they have omitted 500-plus words to make it look like Trump is guilty, when in fact he is not. But that's not going to stop these clowns, and that's fine, and now you know why it's fine. They haven't really thought this whole thing through. But Laura Loomer put this out. It says a transcript release. It's Hillary's emails, Nellie Orr, Obama admin, corruption, and money laundering is confirmed. Now, this is interesting. That's the first I've heard about this. And I want to share it with you because I think it's very important. It says, you know, while the Democrats have made their impeachment inquiry look like they've initiated impeachment proceedings and celebrated, they just got slammed with a transcript that may have annihilated all protections provided to them under Executive Order 13489. And revealed how effective John Durham's trip to the EU was by demonstrating who was fired. Now, cautiously, their soon-to-be short-lived celebration was missing the queen of Impeach 45, Maxine Waters. And she's been very quiet lately, hasn't she? First, let's not parse the rhetoric the Democrats are pushing. Let's do that, okay? According to Chuck Schumer, the transcript of the call is not as reliable as someone who claims to have heard about the call, but not the actual call. You know, you may not be a crackhead, sir, but you do have crackish ways. Now, how do you find a leak in a pipe? Well, you run water through it and see what bucket fills. We all know CrowdStrike has backup servers and associations with various sub-companies that are concentrated in the Ukraine. Now, while many claim Russia hacked the DNC server, parsing the insubmissible report by CrowdStrike, the manufactured fingerprint code illustrating Russia origin was Chinese and derived from Ukraine, according to the head of CyberSec, who claimed his investigation into the server was bottlenecked by Strzok's team in August of 2016. Now this morning, this was yesterday morning, the mainstream media, both the PR arm for the Democrats and conservative media, skipped over the most important part of the transcript. While they highlighted pleasantries and how President Trump reiterated appreciation for their cooperation into the CrowdStrike investigation, it turns out President Zelensky shared the sentiment and agreed with who the point of contact for the Russia hoax lead-in, the Ukraine, was. And to understand it fully, we have to revisit some old reports, and Laura's pulled to put it out here. And it says, on August 18th, 2016, a few days after the CyberSec senior official stated the operation was bottlenecked by Strzok, Obama appointed a new ambassador to the Ukraine. This new ambassador was actually Nellie Orr's mentor, who worked the Russian desk at the State Department under the administration of former impeached rapist President Bill Clinton. Her name is Marie Yovanovitch. I had to sound it out. Multiple syllables. I had to sound it out. So it's Marie Yovanovitch. And if you look at it, you got President Zelensky, and they highlighted part of the transcript. He says, I would kindly ask you if you have any additional information you can provide to us. It would be very helpful for the investigation to make sure that we administer justice in our country with regard to the ambassador to the United States from Ukraine. As far as I recall, her name was Ivanovich. It was great that you were the first one who told me that she was a bad ambassador, because I agree with you 100%. Her attitude towards me was far from the best, as she admired the previous president and she was on his side. She would not accept me as a new president well enough. That's President Zelensky speaking. Now, all presidential calls are immortalized in transcripts called Memorandum of a Telephone Conversation, a telcon. And these are done so by staff and interpreters in the Situation Room. Looks like they were verbatim, not accounting cultural nuance and grammar. The missing key component of this conversation indicates Zelensky asking President Trump to exchange notes on what information John Durham collected during his trip to Ukraine in May 2019. And both U.S. Ambassador to the Ukraine, Yovanovitch, and the Ukrainian Ambassador to the U.S. All right. Now, coincidentally, the Obama plant and Nellie Orr's mentor, Yovanovitch, was fired from her post shortly after John Durham arrived. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe DiGenova, who I really like personally, I like, if he has something to say, he knows something. He gives us some insight before she was fired on how Yovanovitch, now fired and former State Department Russian desk queen, who was really the dossier Ukrainian coordinator posing as an ambassador and Nelly Orr's mentor, felt about the 2016 presidential elections. According to Chris Berg on his Twitter account, he puts this down. He says, former ambassador to Ukraine, the one mentioned in the call transcript between Donald Trump and the president of the Ukraine, said not to listen or worry about Trump policy because he's going to be impeached, end quote. Well, let's take a quick listen as to what Joe DiGenova has to say. If he can find it, give me a minute here. We'll call it up real quick.
But Sean, here's the thing that's really changing. Now we know that not only was there Russian collusion through Fusion GPS and through the MI6 guy and all of that, but now we know that the Ukrainian officials were deeply involved in trying to help Hillary Clinton through this. And we also now know that the current United States ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch, has badmouthed the president of the United States to Ukrainian officials and has told them not to listen or worry about Trump policy because he's going to be impeached.
Right, let me
this woman needs to be called home to the United States for consultation.
Immediately.
Quote. But Sean,
there you go. So, let us continue. So after Durham's visit to Ukraine, Yovanovitch was fired, and the evident outrage by the left was for good reason. Now, this is, I know, guys, this coup attempt has so many tentacles going everywhere, and it's hard to follow. I know. Do yourself a favor. When you get some time, the next few days, get some time. Sit back. Listen to some of the shows I've done that talk about this coup. Do your own research. Read it. Learn about it, because it goes everywhere. You got incestuous relationships between the Dems and their kids. You've got incestuous relationships between the Dems and the media. You have more incestuous relationships in different organizations that support the Dems. And you have to read it to follow it so you understand what they were doing in 2016. They're doing everything they can to hide it. Remember, they don't want you to know about it. And if they do find out about it, they want it so convoluted, you sit there and hold your eyes to keep them from bleeding because you're glazing over going, how far does this go? How deep is this? That's why. All right, so let us continue. Now, this is where the Atlantic Council, ANTAC, A-N-T-A-C, that's the acronym. But more importantly, Nelly Orr and her mentor's involvement in Crossfire Hurricane, where we heard that from, came to light. We got the server. What do Attorney General Barr and John Durham want from Ukraine? I mean, let's put it this way. What do Barr and Prosecutor Durham have since May from Ukraine? Hillary's emails? How about the mirrored DNC server? Payments laundered via the DNC, Obama for America and Hillary for America, to the Atlantic Council for Manafort dirt. Thanks, Perkins Coie. Nelly Orr work product under her mentor, Yovanovitch. And it looks like Yovanovitch was responsible in coordinating the cleanup after Biden got Ukraine to change their law and appoint Lutsenko. And, of course, Christopher Steele visits the embassy there. Now, notably, it was previously reported, Nelly Orr's research was contained on two thumb drives. One alleged that unverified ties existed between the Trump Organization and Russian mobsters. The other provided a timeline alleged wrongdoing by former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. That was reported by Red State. Now, the thumb drives are backed off the server that we now have from the Ukrainian government. We have Hillary's emails and all the back-end work of Nelly Orr while she was in Ukraine working on the dossier under the purview of her mentor, Yovanovitch, as a contractor for Fusion GPS. Now, we have precedent concerns. As far as precedent goes, since President Trump's transcripts with Ukraine was released, that means transcripts sealed by Obama under EO 13489 are no longer protected. We can now get transcripts of Obama and Biden speaking with any country, including the Ukraine. They have nothing to hide, right? The Democrats believe they did nothing wrong, so they shouldn't have a problem releasing them. Not like a fire would break out all of a sudden, right? I mean, it is important that we draw the line in respects to reasoning behind the transcripts release. And this is important when it is appropriate. You know, this transcript release and those that will be unsealing from Barack Hussein Obama's archives record must align within the scope at hand and be appropriate, according to our 1999 treaty with Ukraine. If a well-defined line of when discussions of the President of the United States and foreign leaders are eligible for public release isn't etched in stone, trust between leaders of other nations and our president and future presidents will be eroded. This is true. So what happened? Well, Durham gets to Ukraine in May of 2019, just a few months ago. Actually, 4 months ago. Yovanovitch is fired as ambassador. Durham is appointed by Attorney General Barr to investigate crimes and the origination of the Russian hoax. Under the ad investigation, the Atlantic Council comes up. Now, according to Article 2, Durham, appointed by AG Barr, has the full authority to investigate, collect, and share information. It says, Article 2 specifically says, it provides for the establishment of central authorities, defines central authorities for the purposes of the treaty. For the United States, the central authority shall be the Attorney General or a person designated by the Attorney General. For Ukraine, the central authority shall be the Ministry of Justice and the Office of the Prosecutor General. The article provides that central authorities shall communicate directly with one another for the purposes of the treaty. That's Article 2. Now, the Atlantic Council is tied to CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike is tied to Fusion GPS. Both of those companies are tied to Nelly Orr. Orr's mentor is fired U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Yovanovitch, who housed Orr at the embassy in 2016. Did you know that CEO of CrowdStrike was on the board of the Atlantic Council too? Did you know that James Clapper was also on the board? Hunter Biden was also involved with the Atlantic Council via Burisma. Burisma is the Ukrainian natural gas company that Hunter Biden sat on and got paid $166,000 a month for. Not bad for somebody who has no clue about energy production or anything having to do with energy. It's funny how the DNI report on Russia election meddling involved all the same people, right? We got Clapper, Brennan, Orr, Biden, Yovanovitch, and CrowdStrike, all part of the Atlantic Council and contributors to the Russia report. It's totally not a fix, said no one ever. Now, the investigation into the origin of the Russian hoax will lead to impeachment. Were federal tax dollars used to create a dossier? It's no wonder USAID cannot reconcile their balances with that of the U.S. Treasury with millions unaccounted for. You're saying, John, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. With respect to, this is from USAID. With respect to internal control, we identified one deficiency that we consider a material weakness and three deficiencies that we consider significant deficiencies. The material weakness pertains to USAID's process for reconciling its fund balance with Treasury account with the U.S. Department of Treasury. The significant deficiencies pertain to USAID's processes for, one, reconciling intergovernmental transactions, and two, maintaining adequate records of property, plant, and equipment, and three, complying with federal accounting standards for reimbursable agreements. The USAID did not reconcile its fund balance with a Treasury account with the U.S. Department of Treasury and resolve unreconciled items in a timely manner. It's a repeat finding. What they said is USAID has made significant efforts to reconcile its fund balance with Treasury account with the fund balance reported by the U.S. Department of Treasury, as required by federal guidance. However, the agency still has large unreconciled differences as of September 30th, 2018. These differences totaled approximately $232.5 million. Hey, that's a lot of money, people. Of the $232.5 million, $101.5 million was due to explained outstanding terms, and $131 million could not be explained. Now, the impeachment of former President Barack Hussein Obama is imminent. The Democrats have literally pulled their pants down and have no umbrella for the storm upon them. And I explained this to you how this works, right? Now, Tor, this is from Tor. Tor is a nationally syndicated talk show host on Red State Talk Radio and a contributor for LumaRed.com. So there you have it. This is just the insanity of it. But now you get to see some of the incestuous relationships. And I talked about the incestuous relationships on my episode 2 days ago. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. So you understand. So if you want to see the, it's just incredible. Just incredible. But I wanted to get this out here because it is so, so important that we understand what the hell is going on. And it makes me think, we're after all this time, are we really at the end of it? And I don't know. Maybe after Durham, I don't know. So, there was something else I wanted to touch base with you, and I mentioned it earlier on in this, and let me get to it real quick. Where is it? So ridiculous. Here we go. I mentioned to you that the liberal media, the mainstream media, omitted 500-plus words from a transcript to claim that Trump asked Zelensky, president of Ukraine, to investigate Biden. It's completely false, people. It's completely false. The mainstream media is dead. They refuse to report the truth. They cannot be trusted. More Americans are waking up to their lies. And today is another example of how the MSM will do anything to protect criminals on the left and indict the heroes on the right. They will stop at nothing. No lie is too big to tell. So on Wednesday, after the release of the Trump-Zelensky transcript, the liberal media purposely omitted nearly 500 words in the transcript to implicate President Trump. The media lied and said Trump asked Zelensky a favor to look into Joe Biden's crimes. It's absolutely false. Trump was asking Zelensky to look into the 2016 election. These people are evil. Absolutely evil. So, Andrew Clark on Twitter. He says, if you are reporting on the favor line from the transcript without mentioning that the very next sentence is about wanting an investigation into the meddling of the 2016 election, you are being misleading. It's right here. Come on. And he points it out right there. And even Schaap at Fox News perpetrated the lie again. And CNN skipped right over it. They wouldn't even talk about it. The favor was looking into the 2016 election meddling, not Biden. And he wasn't. All he does is sit there and just over and over again repeats the lie. It's just as bad, if not worse, than the Charlottesville lie. So when does the MSN ever not lie? So, and they got example after example after example. But I wanted you to understand what it is. Because with you, if you know what you're looking for or what you're listening for, then you can catch it yourself. And many of us, because those of us that do listen to me here, we have jobs at work during the day. They don't have time to do it. At night, they don't have time to do it. You're working. Sometimes you work two jobs. You do what you got to do. Now, Now, according to Sarah Carter, she says Biden traveled to the Ukraine and then and told the then president that, and this is him telling him, if you don't fire that prosecutor who was investigating something important, the United States will not give you $1 billion in aid. And if you don't trust me, call Barack Obama. Now, is that criminal? Is that extortion? Sure it is. It sure is. You know what? Maybe some of you even haven't heard it. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this to play.
I remember going over convincing our team.
This is Biden. This is from January 23rd, 2018. Listen to this. Listen to the... He confesses to it.
Others to convincing that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a, got fired, and they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Now that's footage from the Council on Foreign Relations. Don't think Biden is a criminal. The hell he isn't. He just admitted to it. And he implicated Obama on top of it. All right. All right. So I says this would be a short one, and I'm obviously way over. Only wanted this to be about 15, 20 minutes. I'm at the 33-minute mark. All right. Good enough. Thanks for listening. This is John Jeffers at the Jeffers Brief on Contra Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And keep in tune. We are moving ahead. We got some really neat stuff. In fact, just unveiled one today. If you have an Alexa device, you may enable it. I just put the link on all kinds of platforms. Enable your Alexa device to get Contra Radio Network news updates, upcoming shows, and what's going on. Stuff you're not going to hear from the mainstream media. Anyways, we got that. We just instituted it today. It's online. It's working. Until that time, till next week, I'm John Jeffers saying thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it. I'm humbled by your time you spend with me. Until next time, have a good one.